ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 1 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 9. ಕಸ್ಮಾನ್ ಮುಕುಂದ ಭಗವಾನ್, ಕಸ್ಮಾನ್ ಮುಕುಂದ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಪಿತುರ್ಗೇಹಾದ್ ವ್ರಜಂ ಗತಃ, ಪಿತುರ್ಗೇಹಾತ್ ವ್ರಜಂ ಗತಃ ಕ್ವ ವಾಸಂ ಜ್ಞಾತಿಭಿ ಸಾರ್ಧಂ, ಕ್ವ ವಾಸಂ ಜ್ಞಾತಿಭಿ ಸಾರ್ಧಂ ಕೃತವಾನ್ ಸಾತ್ವತಾಂ ಪತಿಃ, ಕೃತವಾನ್ ಸಾತ್ವತಾಂ ಪತಿಃ. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of His father, Vasudev, and transfer Himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with His relatives in Vrindavan? So these are two questions of this verse. Many more to follow, the other verses. Srila Prabhupada's purport: These are inquiries about the itinerary of Krishna. Just after his birth in the house of Vasudev in Mathura, Krishna transferred himself to Gokul on the other side of the Yamuna. And after some days, he moved with his father, mother and other relatives to Nandagram, Vrindavan. Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear about Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. This entire canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is full of activities performed in Vrindavan and Dwarka. The first 40 chapters describe Krishna's Vrindavan affairs, and the next 50 describe Krishna's activities in Dwarka. Maharaj Parikshit, to fulfill his desire to hear about Krishna, requested Sukadeva Goswami to describe these activities in full detail. Vandeyam kasmant mukundo bhagavan. Krishna is addressed here by Maharaj Parikshit as Mukunda, one who can award liberation. Muk here stands for Mukti. There are also other more esoteric meanings of Mukunda, whose face is very beautiful like a flower. Pitur Gehat. Geha or Griha, same meaning, home. Pitu is father. Vrajam gataha. In fact, vraja also means to go or to wander. Come. Maam ekam sharanam vraja. Come to my surrender. So vraja is a place where the cows go from one spot to another. Braja basically means a place where cows have their pasture. So this means Pitur Gehat is Mathura, the place where Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. Kva Vasam. Vas means clothes, or it also means dwelling, home, like we have Nivas Sthan. People call their name, people call their homes Lakshmi Nivas. That means this is a place where I hope she stays. Shanti Nivas. I hope she also stays here. Or all the things which are desirable in material life, we make that a Nivas. Krishna is called Shri Nivas. The goddess of fortune likes to stay with him. So, it's a simple thing. If you are with a film star, whoever is the current temporary ruling master, and if you become friends with him, and then if you say, oh, now I have to become famous, somebody would say, you are a fool. If you stay with him, you're already famous because he's famous. if you have this fortune of telling your friends, well, you know, tomorrow I can't come, this person has called me, but I think I have to make some arrangements for a photographer so that he takes my photos. So the query is, who are you going out with? And if you say so and so, he is the number one top film star. So you say, fool, if you are with him, you don't need to pay photographers money to take your pictures. They will be eating out of the palm of your hand practically, that please allow us. Why? Because fame and this person are never separated. Well, at least for the time being, that's the story of this material world. But whatever we see is like a moneyed person plus his potencies, his fame. What does he do for his hobbies? What are his vacation spots? We can understand how fame follows Krishna by understanding Krishna's opulences. Some of you are from some premier science institutes like the IIT or the Indian Institute of Science. Whose portraits do you think you'd find in your library? Some Nobel laureates from that institution, Einstein for sure, or Niels Bohr, those who did so much, those who achieved so much in the field of science. But if you go to the Stock Exchange Library, will you find Einstein there? You say, oh, well, this man found the theory of relativity. So what? Did he make any money? Well, yes, he got the Nobel Prize, at least that money he had. But then his relatives took it away, or he lost it in some gambling. Whom would you find in a Stock Exchange Library? Oh, people who made a lot of money, Satodias, brokers, you know. If you go to a beauty parlor, you won't find Satodias there. You won't find some of the richest people and their portraits. And you say, just look at him. He has no beauty. So at least he has money. No. Here you will have people who have, I don't know, long hair or brown hair or the perfect face. They call them, you know, Adonis or the Valentines or whatever. So in human society, isolate Krishna's opulence one by one and you'll find. You'll also find one thing. You will not find all six in one person ever. Never has a person born who has brains as well as beauty, as well as power, as well as renunciation. I think it was George Bernard Shaw, a well-known literati, a well-known author, philosopher. Not exactly famous for his looks, but a Hollywood actress proposed to him, marry me and our children will have your brains and my beauty. So he wrote back, I don't mind, madam. What if the opposite occurs? I mean, my brains and your beauty could be a good combination. But what if my beauty and horror, your brains? So we don't find all these at any place. But Krishna is called Srinivas. The goddess of fortune aspires, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. And Brahma, our Sampradaya head, informs us, it's not like one Lakshmi, there are millions of them. And they all aspire for Krishna's service. So Vasam, Jnati Bhi, Krishna's relatives, Sardham. Where did the Lord, here relatives means the Yadu dynasty. Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. How did he live with his relatives? Where did he live with his relatives in Vrindavan? Okay, the first question in anybody's mind is, you may say, who is he? He's God. And who is he? His father. You may say, wait a minute. Your philosophy says God is the father of everyone. Father means the source, isn't it? Father. Like there is a father of India. There is a father of physics, father of nuclear physics. So in that sense, father means the person who began something. But father is mainly used as source. How can you have a person calling himself God and the person sitting next to him says, I am his father? And the definition of God says God is the supreme father of everyone. So you may say, move aside, and he is the God, he is the father, he is the supreme lord then. Like we were having this communication seminar in Mayapur, and one lady, she told how difficult it is to go to one small county in Ireland, not in a small county, even maybe a town in Ireland, and ask the town mayor or the sheriff that could he give us permission for Rath Yatra? So he said, oh, what is that? Well, it's a procession, a religious procession, and I said, what do you do? Oh, we just pull a cart by hand, there's no pollution involved, and we sing God's names. And then this devotee, on the mayor's table, she put Jagannath, Subhadra and Baldev. And he said, what's that? This is God. Oh, really? And who's she? He didn't know she. Who's this? She's his sister. And this guy is a brother. See, he was saying, get out of here. I mean, how can somebody who has no understanding give a permission for a procession where there is God, his brother and sister are just being paraded? Nowadays we have a bogus family in Bombay, at least. God, his wife becomes the Adi Shakti, then wife's sister's husband becomes Shesh. It's all in the family. And they say, if the Shastra say like that, what's the problem if we do it? They actually say like that. So, why accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord? Why? Prabhupada once used to tease his devotees, why do we accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord? So once the devotee said, because in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no. Shastra can say so many things. Some Shastras say Shiva is supreme. Some say Ganesha is supreme. After a few days, he asked the same question. Why accept Krishna as God? This time the devotees was prepared. Those who were going on the morning walk. They say, because the Shastras, because the Parampara says that. Guru Shishya Parampara. Prabhupada said, no. We accept Krishna as God because we have realized it. Now this is the tricky part. Why it's called tricky? Because it's an individual realization. In a sense, even when it was Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, when things were a little bit more clearer, still, the way to understand God is by individual realization. Nothing can beat your own individual realization. Of course, you can sort of base it on Guru Sadhu Shastra. But ultimately, you have to realize it yourself. I'm not trying to make a simple point deliberately confusing, because this is what the Bhagavatam says. Just like, and Prabhupada put it very succinctly, just like you sit for a meal. Like normally, it's human conditioning, you can say. You may say, what's for breakfast today? So if the answer comes, well, apart from normal things, there is some prasad from Jagannath Puri. oh, immediately you try to be there. And like yesterday there was some announcement, Braj Bihari Prabhu and Gopinath Prabhu have come from Moscow, and there is some Mahaprasad from Moscow. Be there. That's like an impetus. You go there, you sit, let's take the example of the meal, you have your fill. When do you say enough? You know, I have eaten enough. If I take something more, I may get indigestion. The Bhagavatam says God realization is like this. Tushti, pushti, kshudha payo. Tushti is satisfaction. When you see something, oh, my favorite. Tushti. You eat that. Pushti, you feel nourished. And hunger subsides. Hunger is decreased. This is how actually we will realize Krishna is God. No doubt, Srila Prabhupada says Krishna is God. We say, okay. See Prabhupada's lifestyle. Very impressive. See the Guru Parampara. Prabhupada's Guru Parampara. It's a very impressive Guru. Sadhu. If Prabhupada is such a powerful Acharya, do we have examples of people influenced by his personality? So many. Again, you are influenced. Well, Guru is, that box is ticked. Sadhu. And then you read Shastra. So this triangle is complete. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Parikshit Maharaj has inquired so many things here. He also inquires in the 10th verse, in the 11th verse, and the 12th, his heart is being, he reveals his heart. Oh great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I inquired. And he fears, Parikshit Maharaj fears that I may not be so intelligent to ask everything about Krishna. So he tells Shukdeva Goswami, and also tell me about those which I have not. In case I forget to ask you a question, don't just tell me that you didn't ask, therefore I didn't tell. No. Tell me everything about Krishna, for I have full faith and I am very eager to hear of them. That's a qualification. He says, I have full faith. So faith is a commodity. Faith is a currency in the spiritual world. As much as faith is also a currency in the material world. You have faith, the economy will go up. Do you know for sure? There are people who write something in their financial newspapers columns and privately they say, I'm actually worried. Aren't you sure? Some people say, I don't know what's going on. And why are they experts? Because they say, and nobody knows anything. That's why I know for sure. The common man says, I don't know. What about others? I don't know much about them. That's why he's a common man. Who's an expert? I don't know. What about others? Oh, I know for sure they also don't know. And he can give statistics, he can give data as to how they don't know. That's why he's called an expert. But faith is the same currency, slightly different shade, slightly different complexion. Otherwise, people always say that, you know, spiritual life is so much of it is based on faith. But material life, it's based on logic, it's reasoning. No. You have to have that. Like the first time you went to the chemistry lab and your teacher told you, this is green substance and this is blue. You mix them, you get yellow. This is called that. You had faith. You didn't start asking immediately, why is it like that? Why is it like that? So by later, the same principle, when Shukdeva Parikshit Maharaj is saying, oh, Krishna Katha is so nice, Krishna Katha is so nice. I was discussing with a devotee and he said, one criticism about, well, if you can call it a criticism, about what happens in ISKCON classes, we talk how glorious Krishna Katha is, but we don't actually relate Krishna Katha. So I said, what do you mean? He said, some people say, It's just like I show you a big PowerPoint about gulab jamuns and rasgullas, and then there is some machine by which I can spray the hall and everybody gets the fragrance of gulab jamuns and rasgullas, and then we describe the various varieties in which they are made and show some pictures of famous rasgulla makers. Ultimately, you will say, but where is it? After the class, as you go out, will you get one? You say, no, I haven't made arrangement for that. So that seems to be like a experience that we talk about Krishna Katha, but we don't talk Krishna Katha. So I am going to rectify that, at least to some extent possible. So here we are, Parikshit Maharaj asking questions about Krishna's activities. He's showing he's ready. Today morning, while doing the tea dressing, there was a lecture going on, conversation. So Prabhupada is talking to one British historian. I didn't get his name. I think it is Arnold Toynbee or someone like that. Some big time person who was also very old. Prabhupada tells him that Krishna Katha can remove pollution. Now immediately if you tell somebody that, you know, chanting Hare Krishna can remove pollution, like those of you who work with the municipal people, they say, hey, yo, water pollution, can it remove? Like if you chant Hare Krishna near Bandra Creek, will that water be again potable? So the disciple has to clarify. He's asking, can chanting Hare Krishna remove air pollution or water pollution? And Prabhupada somehow, sometimes Prabhupada didn't hear it, or he could understand this person is trying to be too selective. So Prabhupada immediately pounces on him. You will not understand how it takes place, but it will take place. And seeing his little bit excited nature, the man doesn't pursue the question further. But Prabhupada, just see the boldness in how he is trying to influence this particular century. I really appreciate that. In the sense, Prabhupada said the material way in which the material progress, the wheels are moving so fast, this is no need to arrest them, no need to stop the speed. Face it, even we devotees, we like to stay in cities, isn't it? I mean, at least my hand will go up if you say choice between pakka rural life with no flowing water, no electricity, and you do everything yourself. You may say, well, I'll think about it. If forced, I'll have to. But if there is a choice, you may say, oh, you mean to say you will live in a city with all its grime, dust, pollution and sins and everything? No, not really. But I'd like something in between. Now, this is where, like Bhakti Raghava Maharaj was here and he was telling that, you know, we have to have this kind of system. So, we need to have those kind of individuals. Like some of us are misfits in cities just because of health condition, mental condition, so many things. We need to then have an alternative. This, at least in this conversation, Prabhupada is saying, no need to arrest the wheels of progress, but you purify it. And how do we do it? Such a bold statement Prabhupada makes. Give us your motor car factories. Doesn't give me this, give it to us, but allow us to come and chant there. Immediately while I was dressing the deities, my mind went into that scenario, you know, where clinkety clank, people are beating down something, conveyor belts are moving, furnaces, people are shouting, and in that corner somebody is chanting Hare Krishna. You mean say absurd? What can one small group make a difference? Prabhupada is confident. Give us your factories. Give us some time. Allot some time to us. Allow us to chant Hare Krishna and to speak about Krishna. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna is the most purifying method, but there should be some katha about Krishna. Same thing for offices. Your Bandra Kurla complex, Nariman Point, anywhere, Prabhupada is throwing that challenge for those who can have that courage. Have that. In fact, in Mathura, there was a akhada. And Prabhupada told them, while you do your exercise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. He told them that while you are doing your exercise, you chant Hare Krishna. From one angle, it could be that a devotee is just not willing to let go of any opportunity. That's a fact. Why I'm saying this is how much faith Prabhupada had. This faith, Shraddhanvita, which Parikshit Maharaj is saying, that faith Prabhupada had. And it is this faith that can, like the English have this saying, the faith can move mountains. So while I was hearing that, another chakra was going in another direction as to, can we really get rid of pollution just by being Krishna conscious? And somehow the answer came as yes. One spiritual authority told that his mother used to tell that, at least follow one small principle. Before you leave a particular place, could be your home, could be your toilet seat, could be the car in which you are traveling, could be the train compartment, could be the hotel room. Leave it better than how you found it before. It's a simple thing. Leave a place a little bit better than how you found it before. So, I think it was Bombay Central ST bus station, road transport station. I saw a conductor, you know, they take out those tickets and the other part of the ticket remains in that box. And it has a sort of a wheel which that screw goes down. So he took all that, this much of that stuff, and coolly went to his office. So I was thinking, hey, this man works here. This is the place where he works. Why would he put so much of trash here? Obviously, he's unconscious. Who cares? Once while traveling from Howrah to Bandel, going to Navdeep, people brought oranges and they would peel those oranges and throw it between their legs. I mean, no criticism of Bengal. We are all India. We all do it in different flavors. But the fact was, at the last station, the whole compartment is littered with everything and anything. Biscuit wrappers. In fact, a man was teaching his son how to put orange and other things. So he was spitting outside the window. Hey, don't do that. Spit between your legs here. He actually was training him to do that. So no doubt, India is seen as, you know, dirty, no civic sense. Surprisingly, why Krishna temples, why Hare Krishna temples are reputedly clean? Like the dirt you may find here are flowers. Now that's not dirt in one sense. But if you can call it dirt, that also is taken away. Twice, thrice, every day it's cleaned up. The Garbhagriha, Krishna's own place, has to be spotlessly clean. Raj Gopal Prabhu once told me, I hope he remembers it, one story. He was in Qatar. Was it Qatar? Somewhere you are coming from. And there was a big group of Indians. And sometimes in railways or sometimes in airports, they make a big serpentine queue. They just put some steel bars. And you have to know, you know, you go like this and like this and like this and like this. Now the previous crew who put those things obviously made it for about 200 or 100 people. This time only there are 40. But still, every Indian was going like this, coming all the way, and then at the window. The same crew, the same passenger group came to Bombay, Sahar Airport. I mean, they were just few hours ago, they were in Qatar. Now they're in India. And as they open the door, they find the same serpentine lines and not many people there. They jump. Why? Because it's India. Man, who cares? So we do have that consciousness that their security cameras are watching. Indians don't have security cameras. We say, well, the camera is there, but who knows, anybody's watching behind it. Well, sometimes there are cameras and they catch you and they say, hey, half Indian, I'm Indian. Yeah, one of our vehicles was actually hit by a rickshawala in Nasik. He came from the wrong side at the wrong time, no headlights. Radhacharan Prabhu was traveling, he was driving. So we both stopped like inches in each other's face practically. And we came out and said, hey man, what's up? So he said, you are in Nasik, I am in Nasik. That means Nasik, these things do happen. Now we may look at it as, you know, the kind of bonding. Indians are very strong bonding between themselves. You know, we really love each other. But no, this is a poor excuse for total breakdown of the system. And that is why, even if there is heavy pollution, we don't mind it. If you read something like, this is state property, please take care of it. You say, because it is state property, I will not take care of it. Why? Because I am state unconscious. Who cares for this government? Same principle, when it is reversely applied. Like Prabhupada, walking in a Paris suburb, actually jumped over a small hedge, a small growth of shrubs or plants, and shut off somebody's tap. And they said, Prabhupada, why do you do it? People don't like, you know, trespassers in their garden. Prabhupada said, Krishna's water is running away like that. Krishna's water. So Prabhupada did not see any place or anyone as, what's your name, so-and-so, what's your name, so-and-so, which place. He didn't see that. This is all just temporary. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. At this consciousness, after hearing this in my life, like one day I just put a, I think it was a bus ticket or something. I said, hey, pick it up. You speak to everybody, don't litter, don't put trash anywhere. I could see that. I mean, don't catch me, sometimes I may make mistakes also. But the fact is that you at least become conscious. Consciousness of committing mistakes is the first step in rectifying, isn't it? So similarly, being conscious, and so this is how I can relate to what Prabhupada boldly said. Chant Hare Krishna and even you will take care of air pollution, water pollution, earth pollution. Why? Because ultimately pollution occurs in the mind first. What's happening in the world, it's not like people don't know what they're doing. But they have sick minds. Completely sickened by the desire to exploit resources. So, what is the power of Krishna Katha? In the later purports, I was just browsing through, Prabhupada explains that by nature, Krishna is charming. Now we like charming people, isn't it? Charming personalities. Those who charm our minds, charm our hearts. So he's very charming. And he's transcendental. So the charm he gives, the kind of pleasure Krishna gives, is not pleasure which after some time it goes down. Those of you who haven't read Krishna book, you'll find some of the activities are like, oh, I used to do that before. At least it came to my mind when the first time I read this story about Krishna eating dirt. And surprisingly, in the purport, Prabhupada clarifies, children habitually lie and their parents glorify them for their being liars. Oh, he's such a liar, you know. Did you eat the laddu? No, I didn't. And I didn't. What does it mean? Or they say, hey, I kept 4 laddus here. Only one is remaining. You say, yeah, it was so dark, I couldn't see the one. That means if I had my way, that also would have been finished. And the mother would say, oh, he's such a voracious eater. The mother is happy that, you know, he's eating more and more. The same happiness Mother Yashoda gets. So one day all the friends ganged up. And they said, this Krishna is becoming too dominant. So one way to curtail him, one way to cut down his reputation is to go and complain to his mother. So they all came and said, your son was eating dirt. Mitti khaya ho. He did that. What is the first thing a mother would feel when she hears that her son is eating mud? Hey, he might get diseased. So if somebody says, but he's Parabrahma, you know, he's Sachidananda Vigraha, he doesn't get disease. To protect, Acharya used the word, to protect Nanda, Yashoda, Vasudeva, Devaki from these kind of mistakes, that their son is Sachidananda and all that, Krishna covers their mind and intelligence with his yoga maya. They actually feel he might get diseased. Mother Yashoda immediately went out, found Krishna sitting in one place and said, is it true? Did you eat mud today? And he said, no. But Balram also is saying that. By this she meant that others may lie because they are not actually your kin. They are not related to you. But Balram will not lie. He said, no. He gave reasons. I defeated these 2-3 people and then this person has to give me something, you know. Like in childhood you have transactions, 3 marbles for 4 amlas or something like that. So many things he said. They all have some grouse, some axe to grind. So she said, what do you mean? They're all liars. She said, all of them? Yeah, all of them liars. And only you say the truth? Yeah. Now what would a mother do next? She said, I'm not convinced. Come here. Open your mouth. In that purport, Prabhupada says, God doesn't have to obey anybody. In fact, God is the one whom nobody can say, do this. Na tasya karanam karanam cha vidyate. So why does he, like a simple child, open his mouth? Because of love. Now, there are mothers here who have children. If you tell your son, who is like 4 or 5 years old, open your mouth, what do you expect to see? Some teeth, part of the tongue, the later part of the tongue, gums. What else? Mother Yashoda, when she told Krishna to open his mouth, he opened his mouth like a small child, but thought that let me add a special effect of some Aishwarya Bhav. And what kind of effect was that? She saw all the mountains, rivers, oceans, forests, material elements. She saw the world, the cosmos. She saw herself seeing Krishna into Krishna's mouth. She said, hey, what is this? So then out of simple feeling, she reasons that 4 things could have happened. Only 4 came to her mind. Kim sapnam? Am I dreaming? Or buddhi moha? Is my mind bewildered? Or some dev maya? Now, this is Mother Yashoda thinking after seeing in Krishna's mouth. No, it's not certainly Swapna. I am awake. I can see things. I am fit. Certainly, this is not a dream. I actually saw it. So, Swapna is ruled out. Kim buddhi mo? Am I bewildered? He said, no, I am not deranged or something. I did my normal duties. Yesterday also I was normal. Now also I feel normal. I feel I can do the normal work. I'm not deranged. Third one. Kim Deva Maya? But he says, demigods would come and take on an insignificant woman like me? I mean, who am I? Am I so important that, like, if tomorrow I get a call that, you know, give me 5 crores as ransom? So I may say, thank you for the call. Who am I that you feel that, you know, I could be kidnapped or something? I'm grateful that my miserable body is worth 5 crores for you. He said, okay, sorry, wrong number. I wanted to call somebody else. Why would the demigods think me as a candidate to exercise their illusory power? Now, Mother Yashoda doesn't think herself as exalted. Mother Yashoda doesn't call herself exalted. Just see. In Nectar of Devotion, there is a, quite amuses me, there is a description of the Dwarpal of Dwarka, security guard of Dwarka. Don't think Dwarka is ordinary or the security guard of Dwarka is ordinary. That security guard has a dialogue. Rupa Goswami has captured it in the words. It's like he comes out, like normally if there is a long security queue or there is some kind of facility for people to take darshan of Dwarkadish. So here is the security guard says, hey, Yamaraj, not today. He's busy. Hey, don't cry. Who are you? Indra. Okay. I told you not today. Take proper appointment and come. And who are you? Other Indra, Varuna, out. He says, just look at the power of the of a person who is, Dwarkadish is busy. I've told you so many times. Now, even these big, big rulers of this cosmos, and they say, nee, aaj hamara kaam kar do na, please, please. I told you, I waited for so long. No, no, no. That's the glory of somebody who is in a simple post as a security person in Dwarka. Mathura is higher than that. Vrindavan is higher than that. And there, this one lady who has the post of Krishna's mother, after discounting the fact that she is dreaming, she is deranged, and the demigod certainly will not pick on her, the last choice which says, must be what that Gargarishi told, that my son must be Narayan or something like that. She doesn't believe it. Half-heartedly she feels, must be Atma Yoga. The word used by Shukadeva Goswami is Atma Yoga. Maybe my son is a representation of Narayan. That's why he's showing all these material elements, because ultimately they are part and parcel of Narayan's potency, and he can at any time show me that. So, this is the opulence of Vrindavan. The inhabitants don't feel that Krishna is God. You may say, what's the big deal? Here also many people don't feel Krishna is God. Well, there's a difference. Here, Krishna's material energy is making them feel Krishna is not God as a punishment. There, Krishna's internal potency is making them feel Krishna is not God as a favor for eternal relishment. Here, after forgetting Krishna is God, we become miserable. There, after remembering, after forgetting Krishna is God, you start, your actual bliss begins there. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare nikatastha maya tare jhapatiya dhare. Here Maya catches this person and starts his punishment. Yoga Maya catches the devotees in the internal potency. And as they say, let the show begin. So 10th canto is in this narration is where Parikshit Maharaj is so happy to hear, and more than that, Shukdev Goswami is so glad to relate. And that's why this query letter, please tell me everything, also those things which I don't ask. I will stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Mad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. Yeah.